Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The following is a presentation of the Force Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy and our galaxy right here, well, in a drying out SoCal after a weird wet week, this is Force Center Presents Other Center. I'm Ken Nelson.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and I am appreciating your alliteration of a wild, weird, wet week. It is shockingly dry, as we record a little bit earlier for this episode that's going to be out later in the week. This is a cues of the other episode. This has been a great and fun journey, stressful and weird, but also great and fun. Doing Other Centered in particular with the cues. I have a lot more cues coming up, including a live Q&A that we'll tell you about in a moment. But first, we want to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This week, we're recommending, according to my notes, ? Because we're having a lot of fun just recommending different books we liked. Our last episode was 15 books with a couple of runner-ups thrown in there of books we recommended. But Ken, what are you feeling today as we record?
All right. I'm going to go back to my list and I'm going to say, if y'all haven't had a chance to actually read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, why don't you do that? Why don't you listen to it? Oh God, I hope that's a choice on there. I didn't think about checking. think it is. It should be, right?
Oh, I'm sure it is. I think I've heard strong opinions about the different narrations of it. I used to have a couple of the different radio adaptations that I used to fall asleep listening to Hitchhiker's Guide. So join me in falling asleep and staying awake.
And Stephen Fry narrates it quite wonderfully, I imagine.
Yeah, that is a great, great narrator. So yeah, that's a solid recommendation. We could recommend that for like 8 episodes. So check that out. If you want to check out Hitchhiker's Guide read to you by the great Stephen Fry, you can download that free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/4center. Again, that's audibletrial.com/4center for your free audiobook. Should probably say that we, of course, are helped financially by you getting a free audiobook. And, you know, things are weird, not only with the strikes, but also just the nature of podcasts. Every ground we step on is shaky right now. So if these audiobooks sound interesting to you, it really does help us if you check it out.
It does indeed. It does indeed. And speaking of other ways to support us, we have our current ask, and that is, hey, would you like to check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/4center? We recently hit a goal, like we re-hit a goal, and that is $2,100 a month, where we are going to do a live life-ranked episode exclusive for patrons and then release to the public later. We had a lot of fun doing that earlier with a Star Wars-ranked episode. So that is coming your way, and now our goal is just to continue support. As Joseph said, we try to be open and honest as best we can with you all. It's a good time for podcasts, but also a trying time and a changing time, and that's outside of the strikes. So we definitely appreciate your support over on Patreon, is what we'll say, at patreon.com/4center if you want to check it out.
Yeah, that is right. And we'll have another goal to stretch to at some point here. But right now, we just want to celebrate the one that we reached. And because we reached it, we are doing a live Q&A of Other Center. Ken, you came up with a title for it. What was the title?
Questions of the Other Variety. Which I was, you know, I needed a thumbnail and fast.
It sounds like a euphemism that like an older British person is using, you know, from a story set in the 30s and some like Agatha Christie novel of he has questions of the other variety. So what we mean by questions of the other variety is, you know, hey, not anything about a work created by a struck company. Other than that, we can have fun with food, with life, with water, whatever topic you want to discuss, sports. And I'm really excited to just have the hangout. That's what's fun about these Q&As that we've done is you and I have a drink, sometimes alcoholic, sometimes not. Other people can have whatever drink we want. We get to chat with people about in the chat about, you know, I love having people being like, oh, I'm going to be here for half an hour. Then I got to go pick up my kid. Or it's such a great and strangely intimate way to connect with everyone over the internet. So we're excited to have that hangout and talk about all kinds of different things. That is happening at 2 p.m. Pacific this Friday, August 25th. And we have links on our social media. Anything else to say about that, Ken?
No, looking forward to it. We had to skip a month for a variety of reasons and happy to be back to that. Always fun to hang out with all of you, 4Center and Other Center listeners.
That is right. And now we have said all the A's and a P plug. So now we're down to our Q's, our titular Q's, our questions. This first one comes to us from patron Will Culbertson. And Will says, what are your favorite songs for when you need a boost in motivation? Ken, this one was really fun to think about coming off the heels of doing our favorite band slash musicians episode. And some of the songs I thought of were definitely by the artists that I listed. I could have replicated that list, but I also wanted to go some different places. How did you approach this, having just done that episode?
Yeah, I almost have no answer, Will, because I don't have 3 hours to take from Joseph's time to explain every song. And I'm literally, as we're talking, writing down more that I hadn't thought of. Right? Because where I go with this is what kind of motivation, and Will has left this open for us. Is it the you're down in the dumps and need to be pulled up? Is it maybe you're a little angry and you want to drive forward and you want to be pushed forward? I don't know. Maybe you want to be introspective and there's all those kind of things that factor into this. So as I'm making some notes, Joseph, I'm stalling for time to kick it back to you because I totally forgot about two songs I love.
How many did you list? Let's see what we're in for.
I didn't even list them. Here's what I'm saying. I was like, I just got to go with my gut. And so I had some to talk about. And then as you and I started this, I was like, why would I forget that?
You have some written down, but now you're feeling bad that you left off the true ones?
Yeah, yeah. Well, but yeah, not even the true ones. It's all right. Should I just start?
Well, if you need more time, I'm here for you.
Okay. Well, why don't you list one and then I'll go.
Okay. So I appreciated how open Will left this because I have my list of songs that are like total convince you to do something. Like there's literally a song from a film and I think a stage musical that I have a recording of Dean Martin doing it. I don't know a lot about it, but it's just called Do It. Which is like one of those get off your A and do things. One of those songs is a weird one, and it is from a band I listed on a previous episode. It's a Guns N' Roses song from their a very divisive album of Chinese Democracy, the one that's mostly Axel by himself and an army of other musicians, none of whom are the original musicians. So a lot of people don't like that album. It was a butt of jokes for a long time. I like that album. I know, shocking. I like something a lot of people don't. Shocking. But there's a song on it called Scraped. And a lot of the songs on that album are, you know, Axel being just generically mad at unknown figures who have wronged him. There's some songs that are like apologies and regrets, but this one is just like, it's strangely upbeat. It's like he's using his much higher register. So it is. Mm. Is much, much screechier. But it is just like you could probably take the lyrics and like put them to a kid's book is a little inspirational book and you wouldn't realize it's Screeching by Axl Rose. in particular, there's this line of dialogue. Sometimes it feels like it's all opened up for me. Nothing's impossible. I am inconquerable. I'm pretty sure he's saying inconquerable. And I don't think inconquerable is a word, but the entire spirit of this song is don't let other people tell you what you can and can't do. You can do it. I've literally listened to this one when I'm having like a hard time with the script. So this is a pretty straightforward one. Scraped by Guns N' Roses with the perhaps not actually existent word inconquerable.
Inconquerable. It wouldn't be rock and roll if you used words that existed. Right.
That's right. Maybe he's saying unconquerable. It sounds like inconquerable to me, and it makes me like it even more. So I got a handful. That's the first one.
Okay. Yeah. this is great. Welcome to Music Center, which we should just maybe just do one day. Just switch over. Have a third podcast feed here. All right. So here's again, like you're so right. It's like what kind, like you're talking about Guns N' Roses. You're struggling with the third act of a script and you're like, I need Axel. I think that's important. So there's a lot of different kind of motivations indeed. And I will go to a sweeping motivation that kind of picks you up and lifts you along. Whether, you know, almost lyrics don't even matter this one. And I'm a big lyrics guy. So it is a band called Waking Lights. It is a song called The Sounds. And here's how I discovered the song. And I don't listen to a lot of their other stuff. It's one of those bands you just in the streaming era, you can find and listen to just that song and add it to playlists and kind of forget about it or forget about their other work, which isn't necessarily fair to the bands. One day was, you know, weird YouTube video algorithm thing. Someone had put like maybe a GoPro on the front of their car, their dashboard, and drove cross country and recorded it, but then sped it up. Right. So it's fast forwarded. And this was the song in the background, and it's got this driving rhythm and it's kind of inspirational. And I've driven cross country just on the 40 twice in my life. So I was just, that's why I was watching the video. And I was like, I've been on that stretch of that's Van Buren, Arkansas. But it's just, I just love the song. I love the song and I can't explain it. So there's a little bit, like I love getting a car, clearing your head and driving. And it's just got this pounding rhythm. Wonderful and wonderful lyrics, but just great harmonies, vocals from this rock band, and it's kind of unlike a lot of the other songs they have out, which is maybe that's why I gravitate just to this song. Highly recommend it, and it doesn't have any specific lyrics I can call out, other than you just kind of feel we're going, You know, we're going somewhere. We're traveling. We're experiencing things. And I've always loved it. And it is kind of about the sounds, about, you know, singing the sounds that kind of inspire you. So I love that song. That's where I'll start.
But this is about you need to feel propelled. You're stagnant and you need to go.
Exactly the feeling. And I think that's without a doubt tied to the how I discovered the song, right? Was literally someone going, but it definitely, I could see why they picked it. And I absolutely need that feeling sometimes.
Yeah. I think I was tempted to just list like some songs that are just like, they're upbeat and they kick ass and you want to, you know, it makes you want to just get up and move and go. So I think that is a definitely a great one. Mm-hmm. My next one is a little bit of that, but I think it's got a little bit of, probably 10 years ago, if I would have made this list, they would have all been angry. I've been wrong songs.
Yeah.
And this isn't, I have been wrong song, but, I'm going to do something about it. You can't stop me. You can't hold me back. It is, by the band Cake, which would have been a runner up for my top five list. And it's the song that introduced me to Cake, and it is their cover of I Will Survive.
That's so good. Oh God, that's a great one.
Cake is like one of the few bands that I've gone back to. We've talked about this era that you're an absolute expert in, and I feel incredibly bad because I just entirely tapped out of pop culture. Cake is one of those. I encountered Cake in the year 2000, and I went back for them, and I celebrate their whole catalog. I have every album. But I Will Survive was the one that introduced me to them. And I was listening to it back in my first apartment in South Minneapolis, the Belmont. And this was make me get up, physically get up and rock out song. It's such a great cover, just musically. And obviously, you know, the song I Will Survive, you know, it's a cover. And, you know, some of it is them and a lot of it is, you know, the song.
Yeah. It's a great radio single, by the way. I remember that popped up, and I think we had to have the edited version. I can't remember, right?
Yeah, because there's one F-bomb that makes it even better.
Well, so here's more radio stories. Not every band would, it's not necessarily, if it's not a single, you might not get a radio edit. And so I think that was one of the songs. It was not necessarily a single. It was an album track or a B-side or something like that. And you would have to wait for that moment for the F-bomb. And then you click this like on off button on the board and you self-mute, you self-edit. So there was this wonderful tension of here it is. The F-bomb. There we go. So I love that song. God, that's a great one.
That's a great one too, because what I love about it is, we can also have Swearing Center at some point. Swearing is important to me. I don't think it should necessarily be an all-time thing. It's conditional, all that. But, we have words that are verboten because then when we say them, it adds an extra release, blah, 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 blah. So when they pop up in a song, particularly in this one, the whole attitude of it, of this song, has got some swearing in it, but you're not expecting it. And it's not like a big release moment. It's just kind of tossed in. Like, I almost think he just tossed it in the studio. And like, cool. So I love it even more that you have to be ready for it on that song, because it's not in a place you'd expect it. It's just kind of thrown in willy-nilly. Should have changed my effing lock. It should have made you leave the key.
Yes. So good. So glad. We should talk about Cake sometimes. Great band.
Yeah, we can do a Cake countdown.
Still going. They're still going strong. All right. I know this could quickly, jokingly devolve into a separate episode. And we're not done talking music here now. So I'm just going to run through a couple here, Joseph, and then we'll go from here. Like you talk about like Axel and his angry at someone type of
their world. Yes.
Or I need some kind of pick me up. An Oasis song off of their third album, Be Here Now, which is their cocaine-fueled album. It's not their best, but it's got some great songs. I think history's more kind to that album than people were in 97. But it's called I Hope I Think I Know. And it is literally a very Liam Gallagher, Oasis, Noel Gallagher, F you. You hate us, but we're going to go dancing into the Hall of Fame, F off. And I played it the day I was laid off from radio in 98. And I dedicated it. I got on the air and I went, I was very professional the entire time. And then this is my last talk set. I said, it's been a lot of fun. We'll see you all. So I was leaving the morning show and ended up working on the overnight. So I'm glad I wasn't a complete dick, but I was like, I'm going, I dedicate this next song to the people that did this to me. And I hope, I think I know. On the other side, if I'm walking around, this is a weird, and I need wrestling fans will get this. If I need kind of like a, yeah, let's go do it. I listen to, it's called The Next Big Thing, and it is Brock Lesnar's theme song. It's just a doom, 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 and it's just silly, silly. Let me bench press harder, or let me podcast even better. Like, it's just one of those things. I go. Then if I need some introspection, if I'm a little sad and I need to pick me up, three songs: George Harrison's "All Things Must Pass," George and the Beatle. The day he died, I went up to the top of the mall that I worked at and I bawled my eyes out because his music had got me through so much. The same token, U2, I talked about them in the last episode. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Obviously, take the album version. But the Rattle and Hum version has a live choir. It turns it into just this absolutely like church hymn kind of song that it's kind of meant to be. I go for that version. And then there's a song by an artist named Greg Holden called "Hold On Tight." That, speaking of wrestling, I first heard it when Rowdy Piper died. It was used as the backdrop for the video tribute to him that aired on TV that week for WWE. And it just worked. And it connects to that. I got to know Rod a little bit towards the end and was actually at a Comedy Store memorial service. And I think of that, but it's a very like, hey, who are you? What are we living for? And hold on to it all because it could go. So I love that. And then I'm just going to finish up here, Joseph, head it back to you. If I need motivation to change, there's a song by Semisonic called "Surprise," Minnesota Zone. First lyric, I feel the day is arriving soon. I can't stay around anymore. They'll look in all the familiar rooms until they feel the breeze to the door. And it is, I'm going to surprise them all when they look and I'm gone, gone, gone. And that's a song about, for me, about change, doing change for yourself, leaving jobs that you don't want to be in, making a big switch to move to LA and just kind of getting out of yourself and making a decision to move forward. That song. And then final one, Joseph, when I'm not even including Old Shit, New Shit by the Eels, which I could go on for a while. If I'm going to a comedy show and I need to feel it, I put on Diamond Heart by Lady Gaga, which is not necessarily a song you would connect with. It's a very, both a character and a personal song for Lady Gaga. But it is a great rock song from her album Joanne. And I put that every time I drive to a comedy club. It just, you talk about pumped up and motivated, ready to go. It reminded me of the importance of being an artist. And that's what Gaga does for me. And that's what that song does for me. There you go. End of list. End of show.
That is a great list, and Diamond Heart is a banger. That is a great one. Mm-hmm. You are this is a great list. I like speed rank that we're doing.
I just I know us, and we'd be here for 3 hours.
I know. I'm going to join you in doing speed rank because not only did I have two more, you made me think of others. I'm going to stay in the cake gear. I got to go with Comfort Eagle. You know Comfort Eagle?
I do, but not as much as the other one has a fun swear word.
Yeah. Comfort Eagle is from their album Comfort Eagle. But anyway, it was my going on stage music for a while when I was with this a group of storytellers called the Rockstar Storytellers, where we all had intro songs. And Comfort Eagle was not only is it a great song about capitalism in America, blah, 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 but it's got a beat. But the thing with music for any sort of stage show, particularly before I knew anything about any audio program, is I would lose my mind if a song started strong and you didn't have to tell a tech person, you know, fast forward 15 seconds and cue it up because the beat doesn't drop. Comfort Eagle starts hard and it goes hard for 3 minutes or something. So like it doesn't matter, it just goes. So I love Comfort Eagle. I listen to that one for inspiration. Wanted to honor an artist I love who's passed recently, and that is Tony Bennett. His third album, his first album, they don't know what they got yet, and they're trying to sell him as a teeny bopper kind of thing, and then he's really emerges like, I want to be a J jazz singer. So his third album is this really, at the time, wild experiment called The Beat of My Heart. Mm. And it's all drums. Some songs are just drums. Some songs have some other instrument accents, but it's all jazz to drums. And huge risk, but amazing. There's a song, the first song is called Let's Begin. And it's just really bright and poppy of Let's Begin. And it's a great song to get you started in the morning. This is one with your English breakfast, English muffins breakfast and your yogurt. Put on Let's Begin and you'll go. I got two more. I'm loving Speed Rank.
Yeah.
This is a weird one, but it always picks me up on multiple levels. It is You're So Vain by Carly Simon.
That's a great choice.
Yeah, you like it? You a fan of You're So Vain?
I love it. Of course, there's a lot of history to the song and the mystery and then the answers and all the stuff. But there's that opening of that song, that little bass. Oh, my God, it's a great song.
So inviting and mysterious. It's mm-hmm. like it's the sound before someone just cuts you off at the knees.
It really is.
There's humor and wisdom, and you've messed with the wrong person.
It is.
All in it. In a bass lick.
It is an all-time great rock and roll diss track.
It absolutely is. It's so witty. It's so powerful. And it tricks you if it sounds like it's going to be kind of light and breezy, and it does, but then it goes hard when it goes hard,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And part of my relationship with it is one of the more successful creative things I had was a show in the 2002 Minnesota Fringe. It was the first time my show was the number one show and opened up lots of doors for me and a great time in my life. Mm-hmm. The show is called The Worst Show in the Fringe, and it was about a person who did a bad one-person show, got a really nasty review for it, and then kidnapped the critic. Mm-hmm. And it's them kind of working through art and criticism and audience, and it ends up being a lot about ego. So our curtain call music was You're So Vain. So it matched the show, and it's in my blood. It's in my memories. Then the other one I wanted to share relates to shows too. And you reminded me of it by talking about Semisonic, a while back now, 2013, 2012, I think I released it. I had a comedy show, that I did called Flaw Fest, which is a bunch of, kind of comedy stories about in bits about different flaws. And I thought, I want to do a Kickstarter and just really record this as a comedy album and get a good recording. But I also want to do something more with it. And I've been meeting all these musicians. So I asked a bunch of different musicians, like, hey, will you do a music album that's like a compliment to my comedy album? If you can take any bit, any line, whatever, and do a song inspired by something in the comedy show. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of great people agreed to do it, including John Munson mm-hmm. of Semisonic, who's just mm-hmm. a great guy. I'd met him doing this radio show and just a sweetheart, wonderful person. Mm-hmm. I had a bit in the comedy act where it came from a true story of when I was going to, I can't remember what I was going off to do, but Sarah, my wife, was rightfully concerned that I was going to be doing something, get too excited and make bad choices.
Love it.
So she's like, remember to listen to Wifehead. And like, what are you talking about? And she's like, there's like a little version of me dancing on your shoulder, reminding you to be careful. And it was not a naggy thing. It was like a totally sweet, wonderful thing. It was there. It was that moment when a partner, of any variety uh-huh. knows you so well to know that, I know you're saying you're going to be okay, but I know you. And if you're honest with yourself, you know you got to watch yourself mm-hmm. In this particular situation. So so there was kind of a bit about Wifehead. Mm-hmm. And John Munson said, like, hey, I love that phrase. I want to do Wifehead. And he kind of teased me a little bit of like, that's about an act. I'm like, no, it's not. And he's like, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing you. Anyway, everybody involved with it wrote really fun, really interesting songs. John Munson wrote like the rock song that I just want to hear. Mm. It's bassy and wailing, and he took the general spirit of, you know, somebody who's making mistakes and getting good advice from their partner and turned it into a song. You know, it's not directly related to my comedy bit other than that idea. Mm-hmm. So it's a song called Wifehead. It's still on Spotify if you want to check it out. Wifehead by John Munson.
I'm going to, I'm adding that to, yeah, I could maybe play that on a Pop Rocket radio because I would support that there. Oh, there it is.
Please do.
There it is. Oh, it's got a wonderful E right by it for explicit. as we talk, I am adding to playlist Pop Rockin' Radio. There we go.
Oh man, I'm very excited for that. I love that song, and it's obviously I'm happy that it has something to do with me. But if I had never, if that's just a song John Munson wrote, it would be one of my favorite songs. You know, because it is just a song John Munson wrote. It's a jumping off point, but it's it's so beautiful.
I'll tell you, there's three talented individuals in that band. I'm glad they're back together doing new music too. God, it's amazing.
Yeah, so great. All right, that's it.
That's
done.
Clearly, we are not done talking about music on this channel because it's opened up some stuff.
No. I'm looking forward to it. Got some ideas we got to talk about. All right, we're going to move on to our next cue, though. Thank you, Will, for that one. We're going to go on to Spencer Wakefield. And Spencer says, another question I'm sure we'll answer very quickly and easily. What real-world historical period or periods interest you most and why? Is it the events, the people, the locations? I bet our answer to that is going to be yes, all of them. But Ken, I have been rambling most recently, so I invite you to go first.
Sure. First of all, I want to acknowledge Spencer Wakefield is, I believe, contributed before around these parts, a name we're familiar with. But in talking about music, Spencer Wakefield sounds like the name of like, oh, do you know that band Bermuda with Wakefield on bass? Oh, he's great. He released a solo album in 87. Oh, he worked with Dave Mason for Traffic. So, Spencer, great job on the name there.
Absolutely. He got overshadowed by Dylan, but he was a great folk artist, Spencer Wakefield.
He played guitar on The Wait. You didn't know that? Rugrats brought him in.
He was one of the basses for Metallica, you know? Not one of the famous ones, but...
Yeah, oh, my God, I didn't even put Here Comes a Regular from The Replacements. Oh, you made me think of Tommy Stinson. And all right, moving on. The real world historical period. Three quick answers here. One, it's funny. It's changed, but the answer stays the same. The 1880s. I've definitely grown up with a little fascination with the Old West. Now, without a doubt, that is what has been there for me to learn or read about or explore has changed or broadened or other times shocked me with the truths that I had not learned about some of the Old West, we'll say, which stretches way before 1880 and even after. But I've always loved that time period. And there's a lot of movies set in that time. I'm a big fan of some of the legendary figures of the Old West, Billy the Kid. I'm a big fan of the Young Guns movies, all that kind of stuff, Tombstone, all that stuff. So it's just something always about it. And there's a lot of myths. There's a lot of wildly incorrect myths. All those things. We could go down that path, which is why it's almost now I even more so want to go back. And more so want to experience it. And we talked about video games. Red Dead Redemption 2 is set in various times, but this is the primary time, more towards the 1890 range. And to see the world, that world meaning for us America, and what we're living in now, to see it really start to expand and build there during that time, again, in good ways, but maybe very bad ways. Like to see the truth of that and to experience it, but also, you know, we're here because of that time and many other times, of course, I know, but I don't know. I've always been obsessed with it. It's without a doubt one of the reasons I love that video game, because I can kind of live that out, right? I can walk around in it and be in it. And that has been a period of time I've always been obsessed with since I was a little kid. My second grade school photo, which I'll have to dig up, is me in a leather fringe vest with, I wore this to school and had a picture with, so not only did I have the cowboy vest on, I had a sheriff's badge on.
Oh, you were already law enforcement at such a young age.
Already the town sheriff in second grade. So there you go. I don't know if I'd be that anymore, but it goes back to there.
Did you have like a BB gun?
No, but I remember I got my first pair of cowboy boots. My grandmother took me out when we were visiting. She, rest in peace, Grandma, lived in Santa Fe Springs, Downey area, Southern California. And so we went to a store, and I remember the day I got my first pair of cowboy boots. So, yeah, it was an interesting point in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you imagine going back there, is it that you want to experience the part that has been romanticized and the part that is, you know, probably pretty awful?
Yeah.
Hygiene, the way people are treated, the lawlessness,
the hygiene. It sounds like a joke, but yeah, no, that's why there's other eras that I might like as well, but I'm good. I'll stick with at least a bathtub. I'll say this, it ties to the other two answers here. It's part of the same thing. And a little bit of what we talked about when we talked earlier this week about the books and some of my choices of my favorite books. The other eras I would travel to are London in the 1960s. And you could say swing in London if you want to just make that part of it. But there's that as a pop culture epicenter. Beatles, mm-hmm. Stones, comedy with the Python gang emerging, all that kind of stuff. And the LA and New York comedy club scene in the mid to late 70s. I'm fascinated with that because I'm obsessed with... I tried to explain it on the book show. I don't know if I did as well, but it's like I'm obsessed with... Everyone in that room, in a green room at a comedy club, did they know they were changing the world? You know, did they know that years from now, comedy fans would be talking about this? I have a friend, actually, I think it was on the show years ago. I interviewed him in Vegas when we were at a convention together. My friend Dan Farron, who's a storyteller, worked in pro wrestling and a comic. But he used to go to the Comedy Store in the 70s, and he goes, he sat down one night, told me the night, he goes, Letterman did a drop in, Larry David bombed. Leno did his normal thing. I saw Pryor drop in and do it. And this was just one show in the main room. And it's just, and he, you know, I would always ask, like, now he's telling me the story maybe 5-10 years ago. These are names that my jaw's dropping. What did it feel like in 75? And he's like, it was a great night of comedy. You know, like you didn't think of it anything else than that. And of course, that's how history works. I get it. But, you know, and by then, you know, Pryor's a legend, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, you didn't know Letterman was a kind of grumpy, crappy host who wanted to go do other things. You know, Larry David had a love hate relationship with comedy. Clearly, like, and so I love that. And that, and same with London. You're looking around. I think they were aware at some point by 67, the Beatles, the Stones, they're all sitting around. Donovan, everyone's changing the world. I get that, but that fuels the conversation about the 1880s. Of they. Don't quite understand they're building the modern world, right? We're entering the America's Gilded Age, which is not necessarily a great thing. We got these barons, these titans of industry, strangleholding the industries that they're in. So a lot of problems come out of it, but you're building it as you go along, and that is the romanticized version of it, but also some of the truth. And I'm just fascinated by that stuff, you know. And so me and Doc Brown will go back in the DeLorean.
No, you're saying a lot of fascinating stuff, I think, about how we interact with history. And so much of it is about at what points do people see their path as, speaking of the Old West, manifest destiny of like, I know what I am building and I am right to build it versus, is this just, you know, can you catch a famous somebody who is going to be famous in that moment of just like, gosh, I hate everything and I hate everybody and comedy sucks and this is never going to work out and I'm just going to have a pizza and a beer with my buddies and complain, you know,
right.
Versus some of those people in the Old West who I think were in this very interesting place of the heritage of both, for most of them, Europe and what had been set up on the East Coast was there. So they have that partial idea of we want to do that, but our way.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this interesting mix as America expands and as it's running out of expansion, if you're talking about the true West, we're going to take what has been and build something similar, but our ways. A really fascinating psychology, I think. I'm not a super expert on that era, but lots of not great stuff comes out of that. And some of the idea of what it should be like is not great. But I think it's really interesting because I think it's something that isn't as prevalent in culture in general. I feel like people feel like society is what it is and it always has been. Mm. And that idea that we can reshape it and make it what we want it to be, I think has been sort of drilled out of us in lots of ways, mm-hmm. including just like, for example, just sort of like the pessimism about voting not mattering is to me like an extension of the spirit for lots of different reasons on purpose and life being drilled out of people that they can actually, that society is something that can actually, it takes a while to turn, but you can turn it.
But you can turn it. Yeah. Yeah. No, fascinating conversation. You had more there. And as always, this is I've loved it for years, but Ken Burns executive produced the documentary, The West. I highly recommend folks check that out. It is both eye opening and also confirms what you thought, what you'd heard. But it's also oddly inspirational too. It's all there. It's all there. The complicated dark truths, which we have to face. Yeah. We have to face to then build a better future.
Yeah. No, this need to have the past be just mm-hmm. rosy is not for me. Welcome to Ken Burns Center.
I know he's
no.
The last couple of weeks I've just been going through the docs again and it's been fascinating.
Well, this is one of the fun things about doing other center, just like when we have talked about Star Wars and we'd be on a specific thing because it's what's in our life. You know, I love how much you're bringing up Ken Burns, because it's true. It's what's going on in your life.
Yeah.
Related to the Old West, this is not my first choice, but one of my choices would be probably late 1870s, early 1880s in Minneapolis. And some of my opinions about the expansion come from the stuff I learned working at this museum, Mill City Museum, which is built in the ruins of the Washburn A Mill, which is was the Washburn Crosby Company at the time, which later became General Mills. Pillsbury is across the river. They're two titans of industry staring at one another. Minneapolis is there because of St. Anthony Falls, the waterfall that is still there. It's got this concrete apron on it that was put in years and years and years ago to prevent the waterfall from eroding, but it's still there. And you can walk across Stone Arch Bridge, built as a railroad bridge by James J. Hill in 1883, but it's now a pedestrian bridge. So there's all this history in this place. But in particular, while I worked at Mill City Museum, I played a character and gave, little it was a theater monologue but it was on the floor of the museum, so everybody just thought it was a question and answer. So I'd be in the middle of my monologue and I'd painstakingly written to find the truth of who this person was, and they'd be like, "So what's that machine?" Like, it's not what Franklin Steele is talking about right now, sir. Franklin Steele is exposing his soul to you, but I can tell you about that wheat machine in a moment, sir.
That's amazing.
Anyway, Franklin Steele was just a fascinating character, and I think it was one of those moments where I kind of felt like, as it, in terms of like human motivation and culture and the movement of things, that oldie times aren't that far away from now.
Right.
As it has been, so shall it always be in terms of human motivation and that. The big epiphany, just that, that people who wanted power were aware of the falls for hundreds of years. And when America could get to expanding it, people who already had power, already had wealth in the east of America were desperate to send somebody's rich son out there to claim it.
Yeah.
And so Franklin Steele was this utterly charming guy who had no organizational skills whatsoever, and managed to make the first claim to St. Anthony Falls. And it's all just legalese but at the same time, there's like, and the tall tales involved of how he actually did it and when he actually did it. And at the same time had to hire bounty guards to like to stop bounty hunters from killing him. Cause anyway, it's a fascinating story. That's like, with your Old West stuff, it's stuff that's utterly relatable to us. Of like, how was this accomplished? Through wealth, privilege, and manipulation of the legal system, like everything else.
Yep.
But at the same time, it's like also, and not getting killed by bounty hunters. Which is not as relevant to most of us these days. So, that would be a fascinating time to. Yeah. To visit. I don't think probably a lot of comfort in it, and very dangerous. So
I've got the pitch for the movie already. A young docent at a museum falls into a time machine as the character is flying. Great.
Oh no, that wouldn't work. I don't fit in Franklin Steele's pants anymore. Those are very tight. The other one that I, the one that I would absolutely do if it was like a time machine, one chance. And you mentioned it, it's for similar and different reasons. I would try to early 1960s. Mm-hmm. It's a, and to get back to Spencer's actual question of the why, the events, the people, the locations, it's all of those things. I think the early 1960s are a volatile time in American history, but also a just fascinating combination of changing times. From my fandom of Sinatra and the Rat Pack in that era and the rise of Vegas, I'm so fascinated by this generation that's gone through the Great Depression, fought through World War II, just wanting to get a little older and just bleeping party.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's why the Rat Pack was electric, because just like, can we just party now? So I would love to make a pit stop in Vegas and see the Rat Pack for and get a steak dinner for $5.95, cheap as hell, because they wanted to rip you apart at the casino, and they would. There's a recording of Dean Martin saying, "We got to wrap up the show because they're waiting for you out in the casino," and he says, "And they're gonna rip you apart."
I want to go there too. Well, let's go.
Yeah, right.
Let's go.
Right. Oh, it'd be amazing. But if I could only go one place, I would go to London. And this is about the confluence of pop culture influences my life. In particular, 1964. Not an expert on Beatlemania. I know Beatlemania is really hitting America. I would assume it's still going strong in London in 64.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we won't dwell on the work of struck companies, but on Doctor Who, the Daleks have taken storm, and there's Dalek mania. There are Dalek toys everywhere. And then the Bond films are successful, but in 64, Goldfinger just breaks people's minds. So in theory, you could go to London in 1964 and experience Bond mania, Beatle mania, Dalek mania, all at the same time. And, you know, in my mind, in my imagination, it's huge, right? Because it's written about. It's like, if you're a fan of any of those things, it's this huge, amazing thing. And I'm so fascinated. Just like, I wonder if I would feel it at all, or I'd just be like, you know, dumped on the beautiful walkway by the Thames and just be a bunch of, you know, like, cranky British men bustled up against the cold, and I'd be like, where's the Bond mania? Where is it? Where do I find it? Where do I go for it? Are there parties? Where, how, you know, like, because even nowadays when something's like really popular, we talk, it's mania. Like, how do you feel it? Maybe it's at a store. Maybe it's in a conversation. Maybe, you know, when a real popular thing comes out, we've joked before about, hey, that popular thing came out, and there's a sticker of it on everything. Oranges has a sticker of it. How is that how it was? Like, I don't know. And I want to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. That ties into the comedy thing too. It's like, you're so right. It's like, my friend's describing this show of legendary figures, but it can't be much different when I swing through the kitchen with Ellis on a Friday night. We get a slice of pizza from the guy in the back and we go, he does a set and I drink, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's Friday night. I'm not saying I'm a legend versus with those guys, but yeah, I'm sure it was just so normal. So yeah, we'd show up being like, hey, you guys are making history. Like, what, man? I just want to go home.
I know you've experienced it. And, you know, in my, you know, short time doing comedy in Los Angeles, or I guess short time really trying hard to do stand up and being out more often, you know, there's a weird tension when it's a famous person, because the audience goes nuts. And then the famous person doesn't, they don't have a bonus to hit. They actually, it's almost more like they have something to live up to.
Yeah, yeah.
And so there's a weird, scary tension when it's a super famous person of like, you got to live up to it. And sometimes it's just another night of comedy in a back room, you know?
Yep, yep. Or sometimes the legends fail, and I witnessed a famous one time.
I've seen a famous failure.
Yeah, I brought up Michael Richards at a show, and he got one of the biggest round of applause I'd ever experienced at the Hollywood Improv. And then proceeded to completely bomb, and then a week later had his Laugh Factory incident.
It wasn't the set that got recorded that you introduced, was it?
No. It was literally, I think, 5 or 6 days before. and just what you're talking about of just middle of the night and sorry, side comment. We'll do Comedy Center as well. It was fascinating.
Yeah. No, I did one show, and I'm not going to name names. There was one famous comedian who did so well, he destroyed the room, and people had a hard time following. And then there was a comedian I adore who was trying something new and just ate it and destroyed the room again. And in one night,
there's many ways to destroy a room
by being too good or too bad. So easy to destroy things in comedy. Yes. All right. So we're traveling in history. We're listening to Lady Gaga to pump us up to travel back to 1964. That's what we're doing here today on Cues of the Other. Any final thoughts on time travel before we take a break?
I'm going to go play Red Dead today over lunch and we'll be good.
That sounds great. All right. We'll be back in the moment with one more Cue of the Other.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And we are back. We have one more question from our wonderful patrons on Patreon. This comes to us from Natalie Francini. I don't think I have attempted Natalie's last name before, so I apologize if that is incorrect. And please feel free to reach out on Patreon. Any patron, if we get the pronunciation wrong, feel free to let us know phonetically, and we will try to get closer. Here is what Natalie has to say. I am currently planning a trip away to celebrate my birthday and have finally decided on a destination. So I'm wondering, what is your dream holiday destination and why? It can be somewhere you've been before or somewhere you've always wanted to visit. All right, Ken, like all these questions, did you pick one or did you make a list?
It's a short list. It also opens up conversations about our mental health when it comes to work and travel. So my answer is Tombstone, Arizona in 1882. Is that count? No. Where do you take this one?
Oh, well, I mean, this is fortuitous because I have just returned from a mm-hmm. trip away mm-hmm. to celebrate mm-hmm. my birthday. I'm really with you on what you're talking about, Ken, with your travel experiences. I think you and I are similar of did not travel basically at all growing up. It was a too expensive, too scary, far away thing to my parents. Mm-hmm. I traveled a little bit. And then I finally started to travel a lot for work, for creative stuff, sometimes getting paid. And sometimes this opportunity is worth it. And I get to go somewhere. I'm going to charge up the credit card and fly to Chicago and do a show. Mm-hmm. And got a lot more used to travel, got to really enjoy it. And, you know, it really felt great because it sucked growing up going nowhere mm-hmm. for lots of different reasons. And I know other people can relate to that for many reasons. Travel is an absolute privilege. But then I got to that point of like, I'm really happy that I've finally gone all these places and I can tell you what the theater in the DoubleTree looks like. And I have done next to nothing of any sort of traveling substance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, with a few exceptions of big trips, my wife and I have really been making a point of traveling to travel and to experience places. So in terms of places that I have been before that I want to keep going back to, I mentioned it often, mentioned it this week. We're lucky to live close distance to the ocean, relatively affordable. And that's one of my favorite things. I'll always go to any hotel where you can sit in the hotel and see and smell the ocean. That's just such a way to connect with nature. I absolutely love that. The other been before places that I want to go back to is London and Nottingham. Lucky to go back there recently. Nottingham for the first time. London I've been to before, but there's always more things I want to do. There's that bar that Ian Fleming used to hang out at called Duke's. It's got that little cocktail scientist with gloves. I'm dying to go see the cocktail scientist mm-hmm. again. Mm-hmm. Nottingham was absolutely fantastic, and we only got to explore just a little bit of it, including, you know, a pub that's, I believe, 900 years old. It's mm-hmm. half built into a limestone cliff. So some of the walls of it are just a cliff. And my people on my dad's side, the Scrimshaws, are from there. So I get to sit in an ancient pub that, you know, some other guy named Joseph Scrimshaw might have sat at hundreds of years before. I just want to experience that again. And then also been lucky to spend a little bit of time in Edinburgh. I particularly love Edinburgh. I was fascinated with the series of novels about a detective from Edinburgh by the author Ian Rankin, the Rebus novels. And I would really love to go back to Edinburgh. So those are my been to before, but want to experience again list.
Yeah. 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 That's a good way to look at it. First of all, Natalie, happy birthday. I'm glad you got to travel. You have to reveal in Discord where you went there. yeah, like you, it's not to take it into any kind of downer, but it's just how you and I were raised. My folks, not a lot of money, part of the middle class to lower middle class that emerged in the 80s. I'm not saying there was a political reason for that, but it happened. Yeah, I am. And we didn't travel much. I didn't fly in a plane until I was 30. People always go, what? Like, what do you want from me? We took a Volkswagen van because that's all we could afford. And then I moved to LA and this and that. But one of the places we would go all the time, and I have not been since 1994, is Yosemite. And when I think of what Natalie's describing, dream holiday destination, an actual vacation, separating myself from travel and work, which I, by the way, I love. I don't think, and I think you're in the same mindset. I'm not bemoaning that. Stand up and nerd YouTube channels and conventions have sent me to wonderful places that I love experiencing under the context of work. It's actually awesome and I love it. And if y'all get the chance to do it, do it. Yosemite is one of those, it is everything. And it's over the years, you know, changed and some lakes have dried up and gone, everything, but it is everything that you hear described by folks and talking about complicated histories and this and that. There's all that there too as well. And a great docuseries by someone named Ken Burns called
National. Never heard of him.
National.
Never Park. Heard of him.
Yeah, it's called National Parks, America's Greatest Idea. And it goes into the hard history of it all too. And John Muir and all the stuff. Anyways, I love going there and I haven't been a long time. I'd love to get out there with Grace. I don't think she's been as well. And for those that have been there, you're probably nodding your head. For those that haven't and have heard, you know, what it looks like the first time you come out of the tunnel and you see that it's as close to God, whether you believe in God or not, that you'll get, I think. I really mean it. It's awe-inspiring. So there's that. And I just would like to get back to that. It's a true dream.
I've never been. Yeah, never been to Yosemite. I've been to Sequoia National Park a couple of years ago, and I should include that on my list of places. Yeah. That I want to go back to. I mean, that's my wife and I's problem with traveling is we always want to both go to new places.
Yeah, well, you know.
And go, you know, back because we never do enough. Oh.
Time and money and everything. It's truly a gift if you can do it. So in terms of getting back, I definitely need to get back to London because I think I owe Maddie Gunner money for drinks or an upper crust sandwich. I definitely owe Jamie Stangroom some money for drinks. So I don't want to get to London. But Grace and I did get to spend 2.5 days in Paris. And it's funny, this list would change. 5 years ago, New York would have been on my list. But now I go there pretty much every year. And I love New York and I do stand up in October there again. And so now it's a different kind of vibe, right? It's an old friend, New York, not a dream location. Paris was everything we wanted it to be and more. It was surprising. The history of that city and the country is fascinating in so many different directions. And I can't wait to get back. We will be back and we might be, hopefully if we're lucky, spending some extended time there. I just want to go back so I can eat cheese and sauce and not have heartburn that kills me. That's the number one reason I want to go back. So there's that. So that's the answer. And then my final one, Joseph, without being specific, I'll say it in general terms. I'm kind of a sucker for theme parks. Like I'm not a old Screen Junkies friend. Mike Carlson has a great podcast, The Ride. And there's a lot of friends. Mark Donica and his wife have one as well. But I like it. I fall for it. Hey, I'm in another part of my imagination and I'm swept away and get a turkey leg and pay a lot for parking. It's actually sometimes a little stressful, but actually for the most part, it's fun and relaxing and I do enjoy it.
I'm with you there. That is definitely on the list. My last visit to that that place of fantasy. Yeah. It was the first time I was there for multiple days, and I thought I might get restless. And I was there for 3 days, and I did not have any sort of I'm done with this place at all. Mm.
And I've got some folks that won't even pass it by. You know what I mean? Like they don't even drive on the road near it. I totally get it. But I've had debates with my friends. I'm like, you know what? You lack whimsy and you need to go there.
It is. But you know what I love about it is it is whimsy, but it is also like there are cracks, there are flaws. Why is that the way it is? Mm-hmm. And that's fascinating too.
Yeah, absolutely.
It has a lot to offer Grumps as well, is what I'm saying.
I'm waiting for the Ken Burns doc, Theme Parks, Our Biggest Mistake.
National Parks documentary.
Highly recommend.
Yeah. And now this is the problem with other center of like, yeah. I got to listen to stuff and read stuff and not been to a dream location. My wife and I were talking about this literally yesterday of like, we need to make a list. We need to make a decision. We need to find ways to prioritize you know, put it in a row because we want to experience so much. But for myself, a couple of them, I did a great show, just a wonderful, beautiful memory in Brooklyn, but did not actually spend a ton of time in the rest of New York. Mm-hmm. And so I am where you were a couple of years ago. I feel extremely lucky to have traveled different places and live in a big city. And I just really want to spend more time in New York. So that is definitely a dream destination in terms of a very active trip where you go lots of places and see lots of things.
Yeah.
This is about the work of a technically produced, paid for by a struck company. It hurts my soul to say that because artists made it, but it is the work of a struck company. So I'll keep it short. But there are many locations in the Pacific Northwest that were used in a television show by David Lynch and Mark Frost that I really, really want to go and experience. That's on the list.
Yeah.
The other, for me, Jennifer has had some great experiences. I would love to go to Venice and Lake Como in Italy.
Oh, yeah, that's on the list too, yeah.
Venice is one of those, like, I would happily get just, you know, plucked up and dropped, you know, anywhere that it is safe for an American tourist to currently be in Europe. Mm-hmm. Venice is just such a bonkers... Venice feels like it was built as an attraction for that park we're talking about. Like, how can that be real? And how long with the climate crisis is it going to be the way it is? You know, and then Lake Como. Hey, it's a beautiful lake, but it's been involved in a couple of properties I enjoy.
Yeah, I'd add that to my list. Ireland, Scotland, Italy. Rome, yep. I mean, Rome, Italy. I'm trying to think of, and for me, when it's, time, and safe, I need to get to Kyiv, my grandmother's hometown.
Oh yeah.
I can't trace my grandfather's as easy. It's inside the former Soviet Union. That's one of the reasons he was asked to leave. But yes, I especially in retrospect with what's going on over there, I'm still waking up every day and getting updates on the war there. It means a lot now more than maybe it ever did, but that's birthplace of my grandmother and want to go experience Kyiv when the time is right.
I think that's so important to do if you can trace your history, your own personal history. Yeah. Let me wrap up Natalie's great question with a question I think you and I have talked about a little bit, but it's something I'm wrestling with a lot of the vacation that is extremely active and therefore exciting. You don't get it all restless, but it's exhausting. You get home and you're like, I need a vacation from my vacation because we pack things in every second. And it's really fun and exciting, but you're just go. Versus a vacation where you manage to truly take a deep breath, allow nature to help you relax. You sit and read and you're with the calmness of your own thoughts. Between those two kinds of vacations, what do you pine for? Do you want the go, or do you want the breathe?
I think the breathe is wonderful, but that's how I get it from work. And the Paris was two and a half, cause London it was work. So it was me and Grace and Sarah got to go experience a lot of London and we got to spend some time with some wonderful friends there. But you know, some of the moments are sitting down and having Thai food with Alex and Molly and we're not touristy. We're just having dinner. So I love that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the go of Paris, my feet were blistered and in pain. Amazing. And I think I can do that. But yeah, that's one of the reasons to go by. For reasons, I'm blessed to have now a little later in life, the ability to do some travel with stand-up because it's work. And I enjoy Like, I love DC. I love experiencing the history of DC, but I just love knowing that now I have a coffee shop that I know I can go to. That's my spot, you know, and there's something that's comforting for me. That allows me to get that breathe.
Yeah, that's great. That is true. It is really great to have a mission and a reason that you're there. So then you fulfill that. And then the rest of the time you can stretch out and explore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, wonderful question, Natalie. Thank you so much. You've helped me perfect my list for my conversation with my wife. But if I show her that documentary, it's all going to be national parks, which I would be fine with. Let us know, Natalie and everybody else in the Discord, where your dream destinations are. And are you a go, or a breathe, or a somewhere in between? Ken, any final thoughts from you?
No, wonderful questions. Can't wait to get back to talking about the other stuff, but this has just been absolutely fun. Some old style podcasting here, and it's been a great journey.
That is right. And if you want more of us, we will remind you that we are doing the Other Center live Q&A. It'll be great because we can get questions like this, and then we can see in the chat where everybody else wants to go. So please do join us this Friday, August 25th, 2 p.m. Pacific, for Other Center live questions of the other variety, right?
That's it. That's the one.
Nice. All right. Take us home, Ken. Where can
we are on Twitter and Threads at 4CenterPod. We're on Instagram as well. Facebook page is 4CenterPodcast. We are also on YouTube. As Joseph just said, join us Friday. Subscribe so you don't miss it. Podcasts are available in a lot of different spots. You can tell I'm hungry. And at the end of the show, merch available at tpublic.com/user/4Center and patreon.com/4Center is where you can support us directly. Follow me at Catnapsuck. I'm on Threads. I'm on Blue Sky, but not really posting stuff there. You go to my website as well if you want. And Joseph, where can they find and follow you?
You can find me on almost all the social media at Joseph Scrimshaw. In particular, Blue Sky looks like it might be the place people are going. Ironic to say. Blue Sky, you know, where we can spend time on social media. Anyway, until there is a social media site called Touch Grass, find me on Blue Sky for a fun time. I will post more about this, but the short horror comedy film I made with a bunch of great people, Ken included, is going to be showing at the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival in Portland, Oregon, October 6th through the 8th. If you're interested in that, I will let you know more details as I know about exactly when the film is going to screen. That is it.
All right. We're out of here. Go travel, friends, if you can. All right. Take some pictures and share it in our Discord. We'll see you next time here on 4Center.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.